Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Luke 10, beginning with verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and he said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now, according to Matthew chapter 22, this lawyer came to Jesus posing this question, following a series of debates between Jesus on the one hand and the Pharisees and the Sadducees on the other. Jesus had been successful in putting to silence those who were questioning him in order just to simply tempt him and try him. This lawyer said that he came with a similar motive, that is, to tempt Jesus. And later in the account, we learn more of the condition of the heart of this man when it is said he was willing to justify himself. In other words, this lawyer was posing this question to justify himself and to find fault with Jesus. No fault can be found with the question itself, because it's the most important question that one can ask. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? But Jesus responded by telling a story of the Good Samaritan, one of the more familiar parables that Jesus ever taught. There are so many profitable thoughts provoked by this parable, but we wish to concentrate on the various attitudes toward possessions that we see demonstrated by the characters of this parable. Our concept of life and our comprehension of responsibility toward others determines our conduct. Having the true perspective will encourage us to live a righteous life. And when we are confused and mixed up and hold an erroneous view, we cannot expect to have the quality of life that God expects us to have. The story tells of this man going along a very hazardous roadway between Jerusalem and Jericho. It was very dangerous because there were thieves along the way and very little protection. It was the misfortune of this particular traveler to fall among the thieves. Let us consider the attitude of the thieves toward possessions. Their disposition was, What is yours is mine, if I can take it. This is simply another way of stating their attitude, Might makes right. Quite obviously, they lacked respect for their fellow man. They did not appreciate the right of ownership. They were not disposed to work to earn what they received. Rather, they believed that if they had the power to deprive another of whatever they might want, they had the right to simply take it. And there are so many who hold this view today. Those who would steal from others, they have this attitude. If the philosophy of doing your own thing is a correct and proper one, how could anybody object? It was the thing of the thieves to act this way, by the possession of power, many take advantage of others. Stealing is so commonplace in our degenerate society. Violent robbery, embezzlement, shoplifting, they're all everyday events. The worker who cheats on the job, anyone who takes what is not his, he's like the robber on the Jericho Road. It stems from a basic dishonesty. The attitude is that nothing is wrong as long as you don't get caught. Another form of stealing of which many are guilty is stealing the good name of another, destroying reputations through lies and through gossip. It might be because of jealousy and envy. Certainly a heart of covetousness is involved. But some have the attitude, I want what you possess, and if I can have sufficient power to take it from you, then I can make it mine own. The unfortunate traveler was left by the roadside by an uncaring mob of robbers. Whether he lived or died, that was no concern to them. They left him. But for a moment there was a flicker of hope for this man, upon whom this hardship had fallen, because another traveler was coming that way. Among them were people of whom you might expect the very best kind of treatment, religious leaders, like the priest and the Levites. They did not fail to see the man. They took note of his serious condition. But then we see their attitude crash to the forefront. They went by on the other side. They did not stop to assist. They, like the robbers, left him there. Whether he lived or died was no concern to them. They could have helped, but their attitude was, what is mine, and I will keep it. The heartless, unmerciful selfishness of these people is difficult to imagine. Thinking only of themselves with no interest in anybody else, even those who are less fortunate, they fail to realize that what was in their possession did not actually belong to them anyway. They were only stewards of things that God had placed in their hands to be used for good. They refused to share with those in need. The world today is plagued with selfishness. There is the uncharitable, stingy, hold-on attitude in the heart of so many. Nothing seems to concern them except their own welfare. They're fearful of losing what they have to the extent that they will not help those who lack. One of the real and almost unsolvable problems facing brethren today is just who to help and how far. Many are in need because they cannot help themselves. Many are destitute and deserve assistance. And unfortunately, there are many who are nothing but professional parasites, who have no concern about bettering themselves, who are quite willing to rely on others and do nothing for themselves. Many are such poor stewards of whatever comes into their possession that if help were given, they would squander it and would be in the same deplorable state as before. Many are simply not deserving. But the problem is to know who is deserving. At the time of this particular talking that I'm giving to you, after many, many years of preaching the gospel, there has yet to be that first person that has come by the church building where I preached, seeking help, to get from one place to another, that has ever sent any thanks or even let us know that they arrived once we helped them. They take and they go. They never do as they promised. More times than can be counted, they are later discovered to be nothing but professional bums, with nothing more on their mind than just another handout. They never are interested in the soul, nor even in improving themselves in this life. And oh, how they resent being checked out. They have no use for the church at all except what they can get for nothing. They tell every kind of imaginable lie to deceive. And so many times brethren have fallen for their tale and been touched with compassion for a poor, unfortunate soul, only to later discover that they've been burned again. Such has brought us to the point of helping almost nobody who cannot verify who they are and what they claim. There needs to be some legitimacy to their story, does it not? some proof of themselves, but just exactly where the line between charity and proper stewardship falls is not easy to determine in every case. But we must guard against being selfish and uncaring. It is hard to have things, but not share with those who are in need. Those with wealth who help the poor are going to be blessed for doing so. Those who have the attitude that they should make all they can and can all they make for themselves are like the despicable characters of this parable. The matter of giving also involves what is given directly into the perpetuation of the work of the church. Friend, we are but stewards of God's world, and our giving should be liberal and cheerful, as we have prospered, and not, "What is mine, and I will keep it." Then we see the attitude of the Samaritan. This parable was especially stinging to the Jewish hearers of Jesus because they despised the Samaritans. For Jesus to place a Samaritan in a favorable light provoked them all the more. The Jews would have nothing whatsoever to do with those people. But the Samaritan came along the same road as the others had traveled. He also saw the unfortunate victim of the robbers. But unlike the religious leaders who ignored him and showed no human compassion and mercy, this Samaritan stopped and rendered whatsoever assistance he could immediately to relieve his suffering. But he was not content to stop there. He placed the man on his own beast. He took him to a place of safety and lodging. He served and nurtured him as long as he could, and even paid for additional services that may be needed. And he even offered to pay further upon his return, if that was needful. You see, his attitude toward possessions was, "What's mine is yours if you need it." Now, this is the same attitude the early brethren in the church had toward those who were in need among them, from Acts 4:34 through 37. Provoked by a love and a concern for the welfare of others, they provided what was lacking to those who lacked. And this is the attitude, isn't it, that Paul taught in Galatians 6 and verse 10? "As we have opportunity, therefore, let us do good unto all men, especially to them which are of the household of faith." Friend, was not this the attitude of Jesus himself, and did he not demonstrate it? Did he not give up his place in heaven to take on the fashion as a man, to come to this low world of sin and sorrow and pain and woe, and allow himself to be humiliated and tortured and even unjustly put to death because he could provide for mankind what mankind so desperately needed? He gave his all for the benefit of others. John wrote, "Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" 1 John 3 and verse 17. Jesus shows us the high plane of giving for the good of others. Nothing selfish about his attitude ever. His was the highest and noblest of all. He taught, and he demonstrated, "It is more blessed to give than to receive," Acts 20 and verse 35. Now, of these three philosophies, it's not difficult to see which will relieve the burdens of the distressed. We can see which will solve the gross inequities of the distribution of wealth. Only one will make friends of enemies, bring peace and appreciation one toward the other. Only one will actually meet the needs of want and suffering. But what is our attitude personally toward that which God has placed in our power for a little while? And it is but for a short while. Soon another will assume the stewardship of whatever we have, whether we dispose of it in this life or we leave it in death. It is not really ours. It all belongs to God. It ought to be used in such fashion as if it belongs to God, for it does. And only one of these three attitudes is pleasing to God. And that is, "What is mine is yours, if you need it." Is that the attitude that you have? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.